Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your goddamn ears and the goddamn place to goddamn be. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading this. I really, really appreciate it. DJNewStyleShow.com, the official website. And also Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Again, we're pushing for that because, I want to grow. I don't really even know what the... here's the reason. I want people to post things on that Facebook fan page so that I have a vast collection of things to read while I'm shitting on the clock at work. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, with me, your friend, my friend, a guy named Steve. How you doing tonight, Steve? What's going on, buddy?
Ah, same old, same old.
Same old shit.
Same I'm alive. Old shit.
You are alive. That's good.
I'm alive.
Although I am kind of disappointed because you did just speak, and if you were dead, that would mean I was a medium.
So that
would that would be pretty exciting.
You tried to make me dead once already, I believe, if I remember correctly.
No, I didn't try to. I fell for it, actually. I think there was – you were in some kind of a car wreck, I guess.
Yeah.
And
a shootout.
And I think our buddy Shawnee Murphy relayed it to me. That and I guess a few of the people that you guys ran with at the time kind of just proliferated this huge lie that you had.
It wasn't even a wreck. You know what it was? It was a fender bender. It was like that's right. See, I totally forgot.
This is how skewed my memory of it was. This is how convincing everything was. I equated it to a wreck that you survived. Like I heard that you were in a car wreck, and everybody told me that you were dead. They created this whole vast storyline. Someone actually that we know congratulated Shawnee Murphy on an eloquent eulogy. And here I am thinking, I'm like, yeah, you know, he probably would give a good eulogy. He probably would. He probably would use some multi-syllable words and have some memories and feeling and probably fake pray at the end of it. Have you ever seen?
Yeah, you know. Have you ever seen onions?
Yeah. Have you ever seen him fake pray? Have you ever been in that position?
Yeah, he doesn't really put his hands together, but he closes his eyes and he looks up.
Yeah.
It's not like you can see his eyes move up because he closes them first, but you can see like the pupils of his eyes move up and he makes like this stupid face.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like he's in attendance at an Amy Grant concert. You know that you know those commercials for the Christian rock CDs? They have that
everybody's hands are up.
There's an awesome God, he's great. And they have like people like with their arms in the air. They're staring at the sky with their eyes closed, like that one trail tear coming down from the corner. And they're just fucking...
I haven't seen it, but I can imagine.
Oh, man. Well, you're never going to see that again unless you YouTube it. I mean, you might be able to actually YouTube that. That's homework assignment. That's a homework assignment, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to this. That's enough of a chore, but we have something more for you. Go on YouTube and see if you can find the "Our God is an awesome God, he is great" commercial. I guess they had Amy Grant on there. I don't know too many Christian musical acts because, let's face it, they're honestly terrible. They're terrible. But yeah, he fake prays. I noticed this at our buddy Sober's wedding when everybody nodded in reverent prayer. He did the perfect eyes closed and then head tilt down as if you're like ready to accept the blessing. His move is basically close your eyes and tilt your head in some way. That's basically
keep in mind he is a raging atheist. He is totally not a spiritual person at all.
But I think,
so far as I know,
that sounds like more of a sympathetic atheist. Like, he doesn't, like, an atheist who's raging would blatantly not fake pray.
That's true. That's true.
Like, even if it was his boy's wedding, like, I'm at my boy's wedding, and I said, "Hold on, I said wedding." I didn't say wedding. I am now from fucking boys Tennessee. Wedding. Yeah, when he's at his boy's wedding,
praying to God.
He does.
I believed him.
Yeah, he talks a very raging game, but when it comes down to it, he will fake pray to make everybody else feel good.
I'll do the same thing. I mean, I'll. It's not like I'm going to like sit there with like a bored expression on my face if someone's going to say grace. I mean, what it takes 15 seconds for someone to say friggin' grace.
Yeah,
you know. And you know, why make an ordeal out of it when it doesn't need to be, you know?
You know, our family never really said grace at the table, but I do find myself in the situation where I'm at somebody else's place or somebody's around and they start doing it, but I'm already fucking two lamb chops deep.
Yeah, that's the part that I forget. Having not said grace, like...
Yeah.
You do forget that they have like pecking order and stuff, and like you don't touch the food.
They look at you, and it's like, oh my God, you're going to go to hell for eating this thing I'm about to eat after saying
words. I gave you my pa's seat, now you're eating my pa's corn chips.
Well, listen, I don't know who you think I'm associating with, but apparently they say wedding. Fake praying. Do it. It's nice. Everybody appreciates it. They notice. They do. Aside from fake praying and being excited about that, this weekend was basically stretched out. Last night was Amanda's birthday. Not just the night, the entire day. Yesterday
was so Amanda's birthday. It started, what, Thursday? Last Thursday?
Yeah, dude, it started on the weekend. And her parents came up and they wanted to take her out to some place in New York, they told us. So they said, we're going to take you out to a restaurant in New York. We heard a lot about, and it's really good. And you do it. We'll go to the botanical gardens and look at some stuff, and then we'll go to this restaurant. And,
sounds nice.
And they said, yeah, it's in Little Italy. And I'm like, oh, it's nice. It's good. And and then they tell us it's in the Bronx. So I didn't, first of all, never had any like desire to go to the Bronx. I mean, I've been there because I went to a Yankees game once. That's about it. But
and that's just touching the Bronx.
And didn't know that when you referenced New York and said Little Italy, that you know there was another one. Like I knew the one in Manhattan. That's it. So we went there, and like it's this 2-block area. And I'm saying this to people who are intimately familiar with the Bronx. This is what makes me an asshole. I'm describing something that people know so well, with such terrible detail, and I'm coming off like I'm this expert because I went there once and I smelled fucking lamb blood through a glass window at a butcher shop. The butcher shops in this 2-block area are fucking hardcore and amazing. Just absolutely fucking amazing. Have you ever been by this area? The Arthur Avenue area?
No, not in the, I've only been myself also to the old Yankee Stadium, not the new one.
I haven't been to the new one either. But I hear it's great. Look, I don't know. Fuck them. I don't care. God, what did I just do there? I haven't been to the new one either, but I hear it's just great. Like I'm wrapping up a fucking weather report.
Sportscast.
So we're walking around this 2-block area, and I'm just hearing in my head, we have this restaurant we want to go to. It's great. We'll take you there. But as we're walking up and down this 2-block area, they're deciding what restaurant to go to, and it's just going on.
That's sketchy.
And it's going on, and it's going on. It's like, well, and this is how they say it: Mario's is good.
Mario's
is good, and then there's like, the other one, but this one looks good. They have an antipasto, and I'm like, oh shit! Come on. I thought you had one. There's nothing worse to me.
Are they Italian?
No. They said antipasto. They're not Italian.
This is New Jersey. You never know what kind of people you can get around here.
No, in New Jersey, typically you'd hear antipas.
It'd be the antipas.
Got some antipas. Yeah, oh, it's just fucking... It's enough to make me to make me just keep the fact that I'm half Italian as a nugget to myself that I appreciate, just so that I don't get confused. Like, oh, you're from New Jersey and you're Italian. So dude, obviously,
I guess I look Italian, but I'm zero like Italian.
Well, you have like a swarthy kind of appearance.
I have a New Jersey accent. I have the Italian New Jersey accent. I guess
maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. And you,
I know I say coffee. I don't say coffee.
You know,
it's like I'm not from Boston.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. Say whatever the fuck you want to say. I really don't give a shit how it sounds. People say different things all the time. But just don't try to sound worldly by putting some kind of a fucking spin on something and do it wrong. And not only that, do it wrong. Okay. You don't know how to say spaghetti properly.
Like spaghetti.
Yeah, spaghetti. Like you don't know how to do it. That's great, but don't come when someone says, "Oh, but that's not how you. That's not how you pronounce it in Italian." What do you fucking know? My fucking grandmother.
Yeah, you know what?
Fucking grandmother. By the way,
see, I was lucky enough in my first year of college. We had an Italian kid. No, my second year. He came second year. He was from Rome, right?
Yeah.
He spoke English and he spoke Italian. And he spoke Greek, you know, and his accent sounded French almost.
Wow.
He had an Australian teacher in Greece that taught him English. So that's why he had a weird accent. But I asked him like how he says all of those words. Like, how do you say mozzarella in Rome? How do you say like ricotta cheese? He's like ricotta. I'm like, okay. So
it's
you
easy.
Say it like it's spelled. He's like, you always fucking say it like it's spelled.
That's it. There's no trick.
He goes, we're not from the fucking South. I'm like, holy shit. And it was at that moment that I realized, like, you know, like if an Italian came over and started talking like a Southerner, like John Wayne.
Yeah.
That's how I would take offense the exact same way.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not from the fucking South.
Once you learn the vowels, how to pronounce the vowels, you can say anything. And you don't drop fucking letters. C's are not G's. And peas are not fucking bees. It's not that fucking difficult. But for some reason, these fucking assholes think they're worldly and special because they can fucking say gabagool.
Gabagool?
Or maybe we get fucking calamari for the table.
Oh my god.
It almost sounds like they're choking on parts of themselves.
They're choking on the Italian food they're trying to pronounce.
Like their uvula swells and they accidentally swallowed half of it. So we're walking around this this area and they're trying to decide where to go. And ultimately we end up at the one that they had in mind. I don't know why they were doing this. I guess maybe there was an objection made.
Better alternative?
Between them. Fuck, I don't know. I know nothing of this area. It could be anything. But one thing I do know is that when you're going with an Italian restaurant, it's very easy to fall into the trap that is the Italian restaurant or the restaurant that's under the guise of being an Italian restaurant that has like fucking pizza under glass and they sell sub sandwiches and it's the same fucking 10 dishes that everybody does if they say they do Italian food. And that's what I don't like. I want to avoid that shit.
Let me ask you this. Did you have to walk up a flight of stairs to get into the front door or down a flight of stairs to get in the front door?
To get in the front, there was like one step. I mean, it was street level. Okay.
But it was up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that bad? I mean,
No, the ones where you have to go down about 7 steps that are all cement and then there's the front door to the Italian place. Those are usually very questionable. Actually, any place that's...
I don't think I've ever encountered this fucking subterranean Italian restaurant that you're talking of.
No, there's a lot of subterranean restaurants if you go in the city.
Okay.
Like downtown, all crazy, like, steps down into them.
Yeah.
And the rats, you know, like, the rat level is usually, like, about 10 feet higher, so it's better to walk up than down.
That's true. But I don't even know if it matters. You don't think rats can climb?
It's a lower percentage of them.
There's a block between good meatballs and shitty meatballs, but because they're 10 feet lower, they're going to go to the shitty ones. I don't know.
I think there's lazy rats.
Lazy rats. Very good. So we're walking around this, and all the while we're passing these butcher shops, like amazing butcher shops, like half of an animal hanging in the window. Like, not just the side of beef that you
know.
That
would make me so hungry.
Dude, half of an animal, like the head and neck still attached to the lamb, the spring lamb just cut in half, hung up.
Brains are oozing out the side.
I stood right next to the window, and I swear to God, I could smell that blood pack smell. You know when you unwrap meat and it's got that styrofoam basin, and in it are those little absorptive blood packs
that are usually full and covered with gelatinous blood.
Yeah, that smell was just wafting at me, and it honestly was making me fucking hungry as shit. So I walked into a couple of these places, and the minute I walked into one, it kind of smelled like sweaty fresh bread.
Well,
and I
guess you would sweat making it.
And as soon as I thought, you know, I didn't look at the sign. I just walked into whatever. They were going in and out of every fucking place. So I walk in this one, and I'm thinking, oh, this is a shitty bakery, I guess. And then I look up, and there's all these like just fucking aging meats hung up.
Oh,
just so fucking excellent. Like, I wanted to just rip one down and chew the fucking mold off of it. But Amanda walks in. It smells gross. It smells gross. Just absolutely gross.
Is she a part-time vegetarian?
No, she'll eat it. She'll eat anything.
Oh, that's good. That's good. The part-time vegetarians are kind of scary.
Yeah, and you know what was nice about that place? Like, I enjoyed the smell, because once I figured out what it was, I realized it wasn't just Hondurans that were really working hard to make a sourdough.
It was plasma.
Yeah, I liked that. When I walked in, I walked into the place, the employees didn't even fucking move. They just kept, they were just doing whatever they were doing before. They didn't fucking move. They weren't overly attentive, like I was going to try and steal something or like I was going to, you know, they had to sell me a fucking a leg of prosciutto. They just kept
prosciutto.
I don't even think they were working. I think they were like playing cards or something. And they didn't even fucking blink.
Vodka.
They didn't even blink. They're like, we hung it up. OK, it's already in the ceiling where our jobs are done. I really like that. I hate the overly attentive person, but I think I'm giving them a pass kind of because they're creators. They're working on these things. They're actually producing something that is worthwhile. It's not just a store with jeans that they bought.
Yeah. It's not like someone folding at IKEA, like nice and neat. They're making steak.
I'll go both sides on this though. Like a retail store, if I walk in and it's just us, I'm the only customer and you're the only employee and you're sitting there and you don't fucking say anything to me, it's fucking irritating. I all I want is a "How you doing?" And then go back to doing whatever you're doing. That's all I want. Acknowledge that I'm here.
Best Buy usually has that guy in the front. Like when you walk in, they're like, "Hey, how's it going?"
They do it perfectly because usually it's a nod. It's not even it's not even a word. It's like, Burr.
Burr. Yeah, I don't even think I've ever gotten like, "Do you need any help?" from that guy.
Well, that guy's
usually there's like the secondary employee that's deeper into the store that's ready to say, "Oh, do you need help with something?" When you start looking at a rack, or, you know.
But usually, no, that guy is the guy who's going to get into a 3-point stance if someone tries to run off with a PS3. Like that.
Yeah,
that guy. Guy, that guy is loss prevention. He's not.
Yeah, he's got
not going
to.
Yeah, he's not going to help you find a fucking flat screen. He's going to take you out if you try to steal from them.
He's not taking me out.
But. Yeah, but what I like to do with them is I like to beat them to the hello. Like, before they get that nod, I'd say, "Hey, but how you doing? Hey, what's up?" And they look at me kind of weird.
And they're greeting.
Yeah, I want to fluster them a little bit. And one day it'll result in them scrutinizing my purchases with a little more vigor. And probably, I don't know, a little more force. I do want to see them. This is something I want to witness before I'm dead. Is I want to actually see the Best Buy security team take somebody out. Like, I know they're there, and you're supposed to think, well, if I steal something, I'll have to reckon with this guy.
I think a Walmart security team would be even better, because it's usually like a retired vet. So it's some dude that'll go crazy at the drop of a hat.
Well, do
but
you,
is usually like
yeah, but
totally
do you,
unassuming.
Do you see them? I haven't really shopped too much at a Walmart, but I know they have the greeter. The guy that, you know, they're like, yeah, you can work here, but you can't really do anything but wave and say goodbye. So just sit there in whatever,
no,
you know, whatever vehicle my, you came in.
My local Walmart has one to two of those guys that check receipts. And, yo, the ones by me are hardcore. Like, they're like, no one person gets through their screen unless they see, like, an old war vet. And then they're, like, off in the corner and, like, 9,000 people are stealing. You know,
is it like the old guys that have the hats with the brass buttons?
Yep.
The truck, exactly the it. Trucker hats with a battleship on the front, and they have like pins stuck in it.
That's how I know they're veterans.
Yeah.
Like,
I think once you get that hat though, you're no longer effective. Like, you can't take anybody out. You think you can, cause you did and you had many years of it. But like, I mean, shit, man. I mean, I respect them, you know, to the end for what they were willing to do, but let's face it.
They're dirty in the army, though. That's the thing.
The thing is, they're not doing anything, though. They've put themselves on display. They're an exhibit at this point.
They're due. They're due for a fight. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, here's my receipt. I'm not stealing anything. You know, let the guys, you know, have a little gleam of cooperation in their life.
You're desperate enough. Let's say that you're desperate enough to rip a PS3 out of a Walmart. Are you really think that guy's going to stop you? You're that desperate. A World War II vet is going to stop you in 2011?
I don't think I'd get caught. Like, no one would catch me.
They're gonna see
I'd
you
walk right out. It'd be fine.
And that's why they have the greeter. They always make eye contact. Always. I had purchased an interesting sequence of items once. I bought candy and I bought condoms, and the candy was good.
It was. Did you drive a white van?
No, listen. It's not as bad as my buddy Scott, who bought a gag gift for his friend, like a Barbie doll that he said, "Yeah, I'm gonna just glue pictures of Britney Spears on her face and that because this is when she was, you know, worth anything," and. While I'm here, I may as well buy. He ended up buying the Barbie doll, a rope, and lube, and fucking condoms.
Anytime you buy a rope, people get suspicious, I think.
Yeah, like, you don't, like, what do you need a rope for? Like, I don't even know why he bought the rope. Maybe he realized the other three items he had and just figured, you know what? Better throw a rope in there. They don't have any bags of lime, so I'm just going to get a rope. And really see what the greeter says. Well, I walked out with my candy and condoms in the same bag, the receipt in the bag. The guy, the greeter stops me, grabs the bag, looks at it, just kind of processes it for like 30 seconds, looks at me, and then does the look away and say something kind of like jabby. He goes, "Have a good night," like that, and started laughing. And
like, oh, you know what? I actually bought a Christmas present for my niece the other day.
Condoms?
And no, it was a beanbag chair that was pink with flowers on it. So I went to Target. It's because I have two nieces. One already has a beanbag chair. The other one doesn't yet.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'll go get the second beanbag chair because the other one will flip out. Yo, so I get to the checkout line at Target because Target was the only place that had this thing locally. I wouldn't normally go there, but I go there, check out. The guy looks at me. He's like, "Oh, one of them, huh?" And, yo, rage? He said, "Yo, one of them, huh?" And this is like an old gray. The guy had to be 60 to 70 years old. Gray. Looked like, you know, Rex Ryan's brother in Dallas.
Oh, with the flowing locks?
Yeah. It was that guy.
Like a lion man.
He was like Santa with a short beard. That's what this guy looked like.
Yeah, like Santa, like, on a fucking cruise after the season.
He had a southern accent in northern New Jersey. So
but what is, like, he? What is he? Yeah, dude, that's another thing.
I just
thing.
Looked at him and just shook my head. He didn't even make eye contact with me. He just made this statement. I'm just like,
oh, he probably thought you were gay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going the molester angle, but no. Obviously, he thinks you're gay because you're buying
a
fucking
had the molester angle covered.
Yeah, because you're buying a daisy covered beanbag chair for yourself. Going out and getting myself a daisy beanbag chair, making a night of it.
Like this is, you know, last week, you know, Christmas. This was after Black Friday. I don't know. It might have been 2 weeks ago, but you know, after Black Friday. It's like Christmas season. Like, you're really going to make comments like that during Christmas season?
Well,
like,
you did say, you said something that was very key to why this took place. He's a guy from New Jersey with a southern accent. Now, a lot of people listening who are not from New Jersey, and some of them who have never been here, you might just see the Jersey Shore and think we're all assholes and we all say galama and fucking make roasted peppers every fucking Sunday. But there are handfuls and pockets of people in New Jersey that have southern accents for no good reason. they've never lived in the South. They don't have parents that are from the South. They just really enjoy shooting crossbows at squirrels.
You know what? Last week, I really wanted to talk about this last week. I don't know. I think it was when Clayton was on.
Probably. And undoubtedly.
It was absolutely definitely when Clayton was on.
Clayton from, by the way, Hate Us Talk. That's hateustalk.com and texas.com or org or whatever it is. Anyway, continue.
I was gonna share an experience that not too far from where I live and where most of northern New Jersey lives, right in the middle, there's a town called West Milford.
Oh, shit.
And well, I know you made a short song about it at one point.
No, that wasn't mine. That was a guy named JG, who was an aspiring rapper from West Milford.
That's right, JG. That's right. It wasn't you at all, but it was good.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
I don't have the song, but West Milford is one of those places, exactly.
But I have a married couple, you know, friends, like these two friends. They're a married couple. I'm friends with the girl, and she's married now. And they live in West Milford.
You waiting it out?
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, continue.
No. Just explaining.
Sure. No, I understand.
They live in like a little lake community by Greenwood Lake, and they're all hunters. They're all fishermen. Like, I fish. Okay, I never really gone hunting or anything, but I go to like barbecues that she has because she has venison. I like game meat. You know.
Yeah.
They've had, you know, ram and stuff like that. But she has neighbors that have southern accents, but they said their entire lineage one night when we were all drunk around the campfire just drinking, their whole lineage is from New Jersey. They have southern accents. Before you say anything else,
sure.
They call themselves good old boys.
Oh, Christ.
I'm like, wait. When I heard that, I'm like, yeah, they said something about, like, we were talking about cops or something. And they're like, oh, the cops are out here hating us good old boys.
I'm
what? I'm like, what?
I understand you live around trees. You're not a fucking good old boy.
I'm like, is this Dukes of Hazzard? I'm like, what just happened?
God, do you even know what a good old boy is?
Like, I think I did go home and, like, Google it and try to look it up. And it's just, like, country boy. And it doesn't even mention the South. And I'm like, I think this guy Googled it just so he could say it.
Yeah. No, it's the actual definition from Wikipedia is that it's well-socialized men who live in rural and generally southern areas. If a man is humble and well thought of, he can be referred to as a good old boy. A good old boy. We good old boys going to Quick Check. And,
okay,
and summering down at fucking Long Beach Island.
Yeah, I was 30 years old the first time I've even heard this term used outside of Dukes of Hazzard, the theme song.
Yeah,
because I don't even think they said it in Dukes of Hazzard. And
no.
He said it, and I'm just like floored. I'm just like, dude. Like,
exactly. It's hideous, and I want to stress that.
But a lake community.
Yeah. People of America that are not really intimately familiar with New Jersey, our fine state, the Garden State, we have people that are like the people from your shitty states. We have Southerners who are not from the South. We have a variety of people. We are not just Jersey Shore orange people. We are not. We have assholes who admire the South for whatever reason. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went to high school with one of these people The guy has no allegiance to the South. Everybody, like, just like you said, those people, entire lineage from New Jersey, possibly all the way to the Mayflower, wherever they probably came over. They're that proper and well-to-do. They've never lived south of fucking of Morristown, New Jersey. Okay, this guy never was visible to me without wearing flannel. He just always had a flannel shirt. And I'm not, and anybody who knows this kid Phil from my high school, I have friends listening, and specifically sobers would know this. One day he described that he bought a 100-pound crossbow and was trying it out in his backyard, and he said that first shot I took, nabbed a squirrel right in the chest.
Nabbed.
Oh, he fidgeted and flipped around.
Like Elmer Fudd, dude.
And that, and it, he goes, he died right there in that skewer.
It was the saddest thing I ever saw. My no,
he was life. He was saying with pure elation, he died right there in that skewer. Skewer. You're from New Jersey, North New Jersey. You don't need to talk about varmints dying on skewers. But people do. I need to have this known. I need to.
Hell, are you even saying stairs?
What, stairs?
Skewers?
No, skewer. Skewer. Die right there in that skewer.
What, is he cooking it?
No, he fucking shot it. He fired a 100-pound crossbow at a squirrel on a tree and pinned it to the fucking tree. I mean, it was an amazing story. It's just the only thing I really remember of it is that the guy was employing some southern speech patterns that really irritated me. He died right there in that skewer.
Have you ever noticed those kids have like later turned into like the gangster wannabe like white rapper kids?
Nah, this kid would never do it. Never.
That happened to a bunch of kids in my high school.
I'm sure of it. Yeah.
Flannel all the time. Then they went to goth. Then it was rap. And I'm like, what the hell just happened to you guys? Triple changers.
Well, yeah, they seek identities. But this kid fucking found his early and just stuck with it. I remember specifically.
It's respectable, though.
I took like a drafting class, like architectural drafting in high school. And, you know, who knows? I was never going to be an architect. I just took it. And one of the things is we had to design a bridge. You know, and then we put it together with like balsa wood and shit. And, you know, we would see how many books you could put on top of it. And then the two winners would have take it down to the metal shop and put some fucking bricks out, or whatever the fuck. And we're in this metal shop. I obviously didn't win. I fucked it up. My shit broke after the first social studies book was put atop of it. Just fucking just splintered. It splintered into nothing. And they're, yeah, okay, great. Yeah, you didn't even try. Oh, good. You just put like a fucking, you made a three-dimensional box, basically.
Yeah, I no had supports. That senior year.
Yeah, it whatever. I tried to get crafty with them. Like, well, if I do like a sunburst with the okay, whatever.
Started cheating with pins. We started putting pins and glue. Pins at angles. We were like, yo, if you cut the top off, you can't tell they're in there.
Jesus.
And then it broke. And yeah. Then all the fucking metal pins would pop out. Like, oh, cheater.
Yeah. So all I remember from this because I didn't have anything in the competition was. We were in the metal shop, and there's all these like intense tools, like drill presses and fucking
Sanders.
All kinds of like welding shit. I don't know. And I remember this dude Phil with his fucking flannel and his bowl cut walking around, like practically like running his finger down the contours of the machine. And at one point,
a sexy machine.
I said, pretty close. I said, "What are you doing, Phil?" He goes, it's a fine piece of machinery.
It's a fine piece of machinery right here. She's a very sexy woman. Got to talk to her right.
Fine piece of machinery. Like he's 100 years old.
I've been working lathes and mills since I was 14. I'm now 17.
Making a crossbow. Shoot a deer, have him die right there in that skewer.
Right in that skewer.
Yeah, guys, I got a 600-pound crossbow. Fired it right at an Asian. that kid. So anyway, Jesus, where were we? We're talking about what, butcher shops? fucking.
Yes, you were trying to get down the Bronx Avenue in Little Italy, the second one.
Yeah, so we ended up eating at an Italian place. The one they picked. It was good. The guy gave us fucking attitude. This is one thing I don't like about fucking waiters and waitresses.
Was he Italian?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
That's what I hate about. No. When you ask them when you ask them about something and they describe it to you, like I said, how do you
like you're an idiot?
How do you prepare your brajol? And he goes, it's beef. We roll it up and we put like raisins and the cheese. Like he's talking very low, but I'm listening intently. Because I can't fucking hear him because he's muttering. Cheese, raisins, very good burger. I said, okay.
Very good burger?
I go, I'll have that. He goes, you see my hand? You see my hand? What? See? I already marked it down. I knew you were going to get it. I'm like, you didn't know I was going to get it. Okay? You just said it was good. I could have easily said I didn't want it. Like, and at that point, I didn't fucking want it just out of principle. I mean, I did, but I didn't want to get it just so this fuckface wouldn't get to show off that he wrote it and be right about it. Pissed me off. But anyway, yeah. Oh, it was an okay meal. First time in the Bronx. And then what I'm hearing is that it looks like any other part of New York when you get away from main roads, to me at least. And you hear Bronx and you think of certain things, but
murder.
All throughout dinner, Amanda's dad was saying, "Safest neighborhood in the country." They're saying right here. Are you out of your fucking mind?
I'd have to disagree with that one.
Are you out of your fuck? They say that so people come there with money and riches.
So they can rob them blind.
Yeah, you don't have
it's actually working pretty well. Whoever's in charge of their ad campaign,
you don't have parking lots with the word pussy stain sprayed on the wall in the best neighborhoods in America. But you did on this in this fucking block, pussy stain was spray painted. There's fresh.
Did
paint.
Anyone else see it besides you?
No, I saw it. You can't. I don't know. I always look at graffiti, and when I determine it's not a name and it's just like something that someone's very passionate about,
it could be a tag.
You think it's somebody's tag is pussy stain?
Yes, that would be a great tag.
That'd be a terrible tag. It would be like a like if Jimmy Rhodes picked a different tag.
If you remembered it, it's a good tag.
Do you remember Jimmy's tag? Our friend no. Jimmy Rhodes. He had a very brief stint as a graffito tagger.
Not Shocker. It wasn't Shocker.
No, it wasn't Shocker. Sobers was it was as brief for Sobers too, and they did this together. Sobers called himself Steel and would spray paint Steel everywhere. And Jimmy wanted to be in on it too, so he spray painted his tag right next to it, which was just the words ass fuck.
So, can't believe you. And you know what?
Wherever you saw Steel,
gone on to have kids.
Yeah,
they both have.
Yeah, wait, that's true.
Bobby,
yeah.
Does Bobby have kids?
Yeah, he does. He does. Oh, they're both parents. Steel and Assfuck are both parents now. Why would you choose
Steel.
That?
I can accept Steel being a parent.
Okay, you have to make a choice, Steve. You're gonna embark on a career as a graffiti artist. You have to choose one tag. You're gonna go with. Ass fuck or pussy stain?
Pussy stain? Easy.
Pussy stain 100%. 100%.
But I'd need ass fuck as my partner.
Yo, you see that new that new mural ass fuck threw up? It was the shit,
yo,
son.
Yo, fancy as fuck, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we made a weekend out of Amanda's birthday. The Bronx with her parents. And then on Sunday...
A long weekend.
Yeah, on Sunday I took her to. How familiar are you with Food Network? Do you watch any of these shows? Do you watch Chopped? Do you watch Iron Chef?
Not the recent ones. Yeah, I mean I watch them. Yeah. I like Alton Brown. You know, on Iron Chef.
Yeah, he's good.
Alton Brown's probably my favorite chef.
A little smug.
That's what I like about him.
A little fucking smug. You look at him. He you know, he's like, say, hey, thanks for coming by. I brought this this meal that I made and transported. Oh. And he would look at it and be like, you fucked it up, though.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's a little thick.
He's about learning. Yeah, you know, he teaches you technically. It's never like, you know, this, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That's all great. I don't need a fucking a chemical diagram for fucking sucralose.
That's true. Every he time does I get a little a crazy with dessert, that shit sometimes.
A fucking flow chart to make meatloaf. Let's just get over it. What do I put in the meat? So we went to Jeffrey Zakarian's restaurant, The National. And he's a contestant on The Next Iron Chef, and he's a judge on Chopped. And Amanda is a fan of him because he meets her two standards. He wears glasses, and he's old. That's really it. She really...
So she loves Woody Allen.
I don't think... She might if she saw him, but if he tried to do intelligent comedy that bored her, she would hate it. Just on first sight, she probably would enjoy him. Yeah, old and glasses. That's really all it takes for her.
That's interesting.
So we went there.
Is she Jewish?
Who, Amanda?
Yeah.
No, come on. It's a horrible thing. No, God, no.
God, no. No.
So we went to this place, and the meal was just absolutely awesome, really good.
And what'd you get?
I got a pork chop, and you know I would never get a fucking pork chop, but I Googled almost every dish because, you know, people take pictures now of everything, which I think is good because it turns every menu into a Denny's menu, basically, where you look at it and you say, oh, well, that's what I can expect right there.
I love that. I love being able to see, I could build like the best dish in the world out of a few words that you have on a menu, and it could be terrible when I get it.
Oh, it's a tuna with tapenade. That sounds I don't know what that. Let me Google. I don't know what the fuck that is. But if I see it and it's like some kind of like chopped up shit in a sauce, all right, I could eat that. I don't care what it is. It looks good. So that looked good, and it actually was amazing. And they had these like candied garlic cloves, like roasted garlic that was candy, just sitting on top. You looked at it and it started smearing itself over the fucking meal. It was absolutely fucking amazing. I loved it. Amanda liked what she got. She got some kind of steak, whatever. And after the main course, I sneak away to the bathroom. I'm gonna go do some damage. But before I do, I stop by the hostess table and I say, hey, it's my girlfriend's birthday. And we're going to be ordering dessert. Is it possible that you could put some kind of candle in whatever she gets? I never do this, okay? I never go the extra mile. I usually just either buy the gift. I usually pick up the tab.
I mean, usually they love doing this shit at restaurants.
Yeah. My thing is, though, I just never make the effort. And I wanted to make the effort this time. You know, so
good
I decided to do it. So they said, "Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, okay." And they asked me my name. I told them my name. They started punching in keys and shit. And I'm like, oh, "Okay, yeah, great, absolutely." And I'm like,
"Sounds
great.
Reassuring."
Locked in, right? Absolutely locked in. So I go, I take a piss, and I walk past the bitch with the fucking afro. Like they had this 6'6" skinny waitress. Who had the most gigantic afro I've ever seen in my life? Like she had like a model, like a runway model body, but she had just this fucking gigantic afro. And all I'm thinking is like, what the fuck is she doing? Like I don't.
We're getting at an Italian place. Was she white or black or Italian?
No, this isn't an Italian place. This is. We're not at the Italian place now. We've just stopped mentioning that because I was irritated that the guy thought he guessed what I was going to fucking order. Let's just say that was an okay experience until Amanda's dad. When the guy comes over to just we're back at the Italian place, by the way. For those, we're jumping around. Just try and keep up, okay? The guy asked how everything was. and usually it's just a gesture and you just acknowledge it. Like if someone waves to you, you wave back and it doesn't mean anything and you don't care about it. They come over and they say, how was everything? And you say, yeah, it was good. Even if they served you their own diarrhea on a plate, you just say, yeah, it was good. It's everything I expected. Amanda's dad says, well, you know, I was expecting more out of the coffee. It was really...
the coffee.
And as he starts explaining, the dude just walks away.
Oh my God.
He's like, yeah, the coffee was a little... And like as you said, like the tea in little, like the dude was just fucking lumbering away. And he's like, well, I guess he lost a percentage of his tip. I'm thinking, you know what? Look, it was shitty coffee. Like, he's not going to make it unshitty. You know, it's going to just be shitty coffee. Just let it go. Don't fucking make any goddamn waves. Like, we want to have dessert here. You know, we're going to have another course. Don't fucking rock the boat. I hate when people rock the boat to try and correct something. Really just... Because these people hate us already. Like, they hate you when you walk into a restaurant and someone's serving you, they know they're serving you. Their role is that they are a servant. And they're doing so because they have a lifestyle that requires them to work, and this is all they can do. It's not because of the glamour of serving people. They hate you. So don't make any fucking waves because they already hate you. Don't give them incentives to do gross things to things you're going to put near your face and in your mouth and in your stomach. Anyway, so we're back at the National, and I'm observing this African-American black, let's just say black woman, with a huge afro. And all I can think is, I have that hair. I have it exactly as part of a Halloween costume. I bought that exact hair for $5. How the fuck, like, how is that your real hair? Like, why are you doing that to yourself? I don't know. Maybe... I'm not trying to be racist. I'm just thinking, like, this woman is beautiful. She has a great body. She could be a model, but her hair makes her look like absolute shit. I don't know what it is. Is there a market for it? Strictly because people are afraid to say they just don't fucking get it. Have you ever seen a chick with a huge afro that you found very attractive?
Who was the black girl in Austin Powers 3?
That was Beyonce.
Beyonce, yeah. When she had a huge afro in that movie, that was about it.
But you thought she was hot with the afro.
Well, the afro didn't make her hot. Her body made her hot, but she had an afro.
Yeah.
And they still thought she was hot.
Did it reduce it for you at all? Because I just don't get
no,
it.
Anyway. No.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, people ironically wear her hair on Halloween to look shitty or look scary or look different or look like a character or an exaggeration of somebody. She just does it all year round. I don't know.
Well, I think it's just like a black dude wearing an afro. You know, like
I guess I don't know. I mean, it was beyond afro. I'm saying afro and you're telling me the
like super puff, like a poodle's head times 10.
No,
something like that.
Okay, like beyond her shoulders. Like beyond her shoulders.
So it was like,
dude, it was like it was
a
six. It was a
hat
good,
made out of nappy hair.
Yeah, she looked like a dandelion. She looked like a dandelion that's gone to seed.
Dandelion.
And I'm not kidding. It's like I'm not saying that's, like the Beyonce character from Austin Powers or whatever. I mean, that was tame. there were nooks and crannies in this afro. It had been working. It'd been moving around. Plates have been carried next to it. Like, so there's a dent. Like, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't seem workable. It doesn't seem attractive. And this story doesn't seem that fucking great. So anyway, I take a shit. I take a piss. And now I'm excited because, hey, I went the extra mile. I finally did it. Every birthday I have that she takes me out somewhere, they have something on my dessert plate. The last one we went to, they actually wrote "Happy Birthday, Ken" in some kind of a fucking sauce and had a candle on it. And I'm thinking, you know what? I want to do something like that for her. So I arranged it. I'm excited. We make our decision, and this fucking afro bitch comes out with the goddamn plates, not a candle in fucking sight. and I'm looking at it, and I'm just fucking pissed. And it's written all over my face. What's wrong? What's wrong? This is Amanda, not the Afro bitch. She put the plates down and couldn't fucking be bothered to even look at us. Or she couldn't see through her hair. She just left. But Amanda's like, what's the matter? I'm like, nothing. Nothing's the matter. And I'm thinking, like, okay, do I instantly take credit for something that she thinks I could just be making up now? Of course.
Yes.
And I did it right away. I said, I fucking told him to put some fucking candles in the shit.
I would have done the exact same thing.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, I fucking told him. I arranged this shit. And what did they do? Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, we could see that. No problem. They fucking typed key. They pressed keys. They hit save or whatever the fuck they did. And then they smiled at me and said, that's very nice. Yeah, we'll do it. No problem. No problem. Absolutely. Yeah, no problem. Fucking bitch. And Amanda's like, don't worry about it. Whatever. And I'm like, and so I look around and there's a little fucking tiny candle on the table. I'm like, blow this out. I'm not gonna fucking blow this out. I'm not gonna blow out this centerpiece. So
I think you did step over the line.
I wanted her to blow out some kind of, make a wish on something. I don't know.
You were just searching for the nearest target. That's what you were doing.
I put the thought out there. I wanted it to come to some kind of fucking fruition. But this little fucking midget at the hostess table fucking just yesed me to death. And it was probably updating her fucking Facebook status when she was typing, like, oh, what's your reservation? Clickety, clickety, standing in front of a transparent bearded asshole who thinks he's getting a candle on his girlfriend, in quotes, fucking dessert. LOL snore ZZZ hashtag fuckface. Just absolutely fucking irritating. And everything, the problem is everything was so fucking good. It was so fucking good. The dessert, I ordered dessert that Amanda might like as a backup in case she didn't like hers. Because, you know, she said, well, I'm going to try this thing. I don't know what it is. I didn't look up any pictures of it. I'm just going to try it. And if I don't like it, you know, well, just I won't eat it. I said, well, no, order something else and I'll eat it if you do enjoy yours. And it was like, she's like, I want the chocolate dusted chocolate with cocoa nibs. Like, just all chocolate. And if I'm going to have a chocolate dessert, I need a little something else. Okay, I don't like chocolate. I don't like chocolate on chocolate, but she wanted it as her backup dessert. So I ordered that. She ended up loving her dessert, of course, and I ate mine. And it was still fucking good. I would never have ordered it in a million years. I hate the idea of it, but it was fucking amazing. Just like I would never have ordered a pork chop because it's a fucking pork chop, but I still loved it and it was fucking amazing. Everything was great.
They've been making you feel like an asshole all night for any kind of like back talk you could have because the food was so good.
Yeah, but it's almost like the fact that this fucking little troll bitch at the hostess stand ruined my fucking day by not making me look like the thoughtful person I am.
Yeah, that's true.
Soured me on that fucking place.
You went through motions you never went through expecting, you know, the 99.99% effect and you didn't get it.
It's not like I'm asking him to gift wrap my table.
Yeah.
Put a fucking candle in a goddamn cake. Put a fucking candle on it. The fuck's the matter with you?
Like, they can't do a birthday. They've never done a birthday. They don't have candles.
Never. No one's ever had a fucking birthday. Meanwhile, actually, maybe that's true because, I mean, it was a pretty pricey place. I mean, it's in the city, so it's expensive anyway, you know, relative to what, you know, the restaurants around us are. But it was pretty expensive, and I'm looking around. There's just these fucking broads that just traipse in. They're reading a Kindle, and just they ordered the. Like, I don't know. I like a steak, but I don't like it too rare, and whatever. And I'm like, well, you mean medium or medium rare? I'm like, well, I want it almost well, but not just like medium rare, like. They're having an argument about it, and then the bitch just sits there alone and eats her fucking food like I would at a Panera. So anyway, that irritated me. So as we're the worst part, Steve, what I want to get to is the worst part. Everything was perfect. We cap off the meal, and we get up and we walk by that fucking table, and this bitch goes, "Thanks for everything. Have a good night." And I'm like, "Yeah, thanks for the candles." And she doesn't even like say, "Yeah, no problem." And I'm just fucking irritated.
Did you tip more than 15%?
Yeah, I mean, I tipped standard 20% because it wasn't
okay.
It wasn't.
More than 20,
it wasn't
more than
the
20.
Look, it wasn't the fault. 20. I'm not. Look, I'm not. Right. I'm not made of fucking. I'm not stacking fucking bills here. You know, Steve. 20%. That's what I've agreed on.
All right. Yeah. No. I'm just saying, like, if somehow like she got a 30% tip or something, she would say that. Even if she was a complete bitch and fucked everything up, did.
You might be. Maybe I'm not painting it right. This bitch was the hostess standing at a table updating her fucking Facebook status. The waitress with the fucking afro, with all the dents and fucking potholes in it. She was the one who got the tip. I mean, I don't know what they
That's
do.
True.
Do they share it or whatever? I gave the tip for the service that bitch gave to me, and the cold icy stare as she walked by our fucking table. With her fucking dented in Halloween hair, why am I being mean to her? I mean, she was aloof. She was very aloof.
That's why.
Yeah, but that fucking bitch didn't give me the candle, and I'm making such a big fucking deal out of absolutely nothing, as I always do.
No, like I said, you try. If you try at something that's very easily done and you fail, that really fucking burns you. I mean, like. Yo, candles and a birthday, like a little piece of birthday dessert. They can't do that. Like, come on.
It's not like I even asked for, like, you know, just give us a dessert and it's her birthday. Like, I'm not trying to pull the fucking Fridays gimmick. I just said, you know, she's going to get something. Just put a fucking candle in it. That's all. That's all I wanted. Maybe it's low class. I don't give a shit. As you eat your fucking foie gras and fucking just laugh about celebrating birthdays. This is something I wanted to happen, and that little fucking bitch, dude, couldn't make it. And I say little because she was about 4'2". She was a sprite. A little sprite cunt.
Sprite.
Yeah. Anyway. So we went out. We did the usual shit. Look at the tree. Look at the tree. Yo, take your picture next to the tree. If you don't like it, I'm not going to print it. $25, pictures next to the tree. And then fucking 25 of those people, like, how many of you think are really going to be successful? Do you ever go, when you look at the tree and they have those guys with fucking rolling laptop stands and fucking printers on them, do people actually buy, they have to, I guess that's why they're there, but what kind of person buys a fucking portrait from this dude who's screaming at a crowd, if you don't like it, I'm not printing it. Giggity goo, giggity. The guy was saying giggity, giggity, giggity goo after every fucking thing.
You know why? You know why those guys are there?
Why are they there?
They just passed a law that the NYPD can't do as much as they used to do against solicitors and people dressed up in Manhattan.
Interesting. Yep. Didn't know that.
That passed like
there were
4 or 5 days ago.
I only entered the area and then, you know, asked somebody to take my picture. Like what you do is you find people that are trying to take their picture like the MySpace way, just aiming a camera at themselves, and you offer to take their fucking picture, and then when you're done, you say, hey, would you take ours? And then that's it. That's how you do it. You don't need
a barter system.
Yeah, you don't need a fucking Spaniard in a satin Yankees jacket doing a fucking a loud field holler to get people to have a shitty dim backlit picture printed out from his fucking Acer laptop. Just fucking ridiculous. I don't know. I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad fucking mood.
Happens.
Yeah. Dude,
it happens after you go to the city too.
And I'm thinking, you know, it'll be. I have it all planned out. We go to the fucking place. We go to this place. We get some cookies and shit, and then we go see the tree, and then we go take the subway back to, and then we can take the path, and we get on. We go to this fucking station, which is right nearby. And we found the perfect subway station. We don't go there a lot. Okay, we're not really that keen and aware of the ins and outs of the fucking city. I've lived next to it my entire life. I have no excuse.
Yeah, I know.
But
I've lived right on top of it for 2 years, and I still don't know.
Exactly. I'm just figuring it out now. So I understand that some of the listeners out there fucking live in the city, and you take the fucking cigs and shut up, okay? Some of us don't fucking know, and we're figuring it out. Let us learn. Let us into your world, you sons of bitches.
Peacefully.
So, yeah.
Gently.
And so recently we just started taking the subways, and I've had a kind of some stories on previous episodes about our encounters. By and large, I have not been deterred from taking them, despite Amanda choosing the Tribe Called Quest car and or whatever. In previous episodes, just take a look. Look for the episode that has a number of black people in front of a subway train. That's basically the car she decided to walk in on and have me sit in front of. I told the guy I'm going to give him $20. He can't get no motherfucking $20. Get no fucking 20. I told her I'm going to give him $20. Because you don't check your email, though. So we decide, you know what, we're now pros. We're experts. We can do this. So we took a train to get back to the path or whatever. And train comes up right away. Like, very minimal wait. We walk right on. There's seats. So this is our fucking night. So we sit down and we started getting a little whiff of something. this thing. Man, it stinks like somebody like farted in here. And then you know it's not a fart when it doesn't like dissipate after the certain fart.
Wait, this is originating from somewhere.
Yeah, and then you start looking around and you notice like
where is this coming from?
You have no idea because everybody's covering their face except a couple people. And then you look down and you see there's a homeless dude sleeping, and obviously he shat himself. There's only a couple people near him. Nobody's sitting next to him. And everybody except a couple of people are covering their fucking mouths and making a big deal of it. And like, oh, I can't believe it. And I'm looking around. I'm like, how the fuck are you not covering your fucking face? There was like
dude,
a middle.
I would have skipped cars. Didn't you ever skip cars in the path?
He was right near the exit, though, and here's the layout we're working with. The reason there were seats available is because the car smelled so bad, and there were no seats in any other car. Everybody was jammed on the one side opposite the homeless guy. They all were piling into the other side of the car. And if you want to go and skip cars, you actually have to go and probably make contact with the guy because his feet are just all fucking splayed out next to the door. To slide it on. I mean, yeah, you could go to the next stop and get out and fucking switcheroo like we
did. I'd skip cars, definitely, yeah. In that case.
Well, we stuck it out. We had two stops to go, basically. And I'm looking around. Everybody's covering their face. This one, like, middle-aged white lady just sitting there very properly, but, like concerned. She had just a concerned look. She had that look of like she didn't want to admit there's a problem. Like it would be wrong, or you'd make the guy feel bad. Like, listen, we're all people. We are all the same. We're all made of stardust, and we all have problems. And one day I'll be there, and you'll be there, and I'm just not. There was shit in the fucking car, and she's sitting right across from the fucking guy. Anybody who came on the train starts like wrapping scarves and shit. I have my face in a cup of coffee. It's hideous, absolutely heinous. She doesn't have her fucking. She's not even trying to cover her mouth. She doesn't want to look like she's disrespectful to somebody who's in a fucking a hibernation state, sitting in a pile of shit. Just probably probably
what's
black
your
shit.
Crew at this point, it's you and Amanda.
Just
and
me and
parents?
Amanda. No, this is a separate day. I've totally fucked up that story. One day, we went to the Bronx with her parents. They went home, and then we went to the restaurant that had the Afro lady and the little cunt behind the counter who didn't know how to fucking put a candle on a dessert. After that, we're on a train. It's just me and Amanda. And I know I fucked this whole story up. And I apologize, okay? I apologize, guys, but it's the holiday season, okay? It's the holiday season, and whoop-de-doo, hickory dock, and fucking suck my balls and half of my cock. yeah. The only other people, though, that didn't have their mouth covered to avoid the smell were these two, like, college-age girls who were just talking nonstop, babbling to each other nonstop. One would say one thing, and then the other thing. Oh, well, what I feel is I have to say this. But no, you know, it's great to do that. But like, I did. Well, yeah, I mean, I already did that. And all, but I, just that's nonstop, good. Back and forth.
That,
blah, blah.
That's really good. They'll breathe in the fecal matter and you won't.
Yes, I hope they absorb it all into their shitty lungs to match the just the absolute shit that they're speaking. They have no idea what the fuck they're saying. They're just so fucking they're so engaged in their
gross.
Vapid, yeah, engrossed, enwrapped in their rapid fire fucking stupid back and forth conversation of nothing. And all, and I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, man, dude, I'm fucking 31 years old. At a certain point in my life, that would have been something that I would have probably just like put up with or accepted as something that, you know, you had to. It's just part of the deal. You have to go along with this. This is how it is. They just say shit forever, and they never shut up. And as I'm watching their conversation, and
bleak outlook,
and I'm occasionally tasting shit because I'll take a quick sneak to see if the air is cleared every now and then. As I'm smelling that and realizing the shit is still here and it's never going away, and I see that they're not even making an effort to cover their nose, I just am gaining this just newfound respect for like the type of dudes that would encounter a girl that starts talking like this and just completely ignore her. Just, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Well, I gotta go. Fuck that. Or hang up on a girl that just starts talking bullshit. Like, and Jan, and then, like, using first names of people he's never fucking met before in every conversation. Like, so, Michael was saying, who's Michael? Randy's friend. Just useless shit. And fucking, they just go and ignore it.
And Randy's friend.
Yeah. And I think, and I'm pretty sure I was the type of dude that would just like think, well, this is the only way. Like, this is just how it is. You have to fucking listen to this shit. You have to listen to this. And I'm seeing it and I'm like, God, I am so happy that I'm old and I don't give a fuck I don't give a shit if they look at me. If they think about me, stop talking or anything, they could fucking drop dead or suck my dick and I'd have the same fucking feeling because I'm old now and it's not all about what might happen or what could happen. It's just the same fucking outcome regardless. And I'm so happy about that. Yep. Right now. No matter what I do, it's going to be the same fucking shit. And that's great. Absolutely great, but that one fucking period in your life, if you're young and you're in that period now, I'm so sorry.
You care.
Yeah, if you actually care, you get less about what you care about. That's really the magic fucking formula. If you care about something, you will get less of that thing you care about.
So stop caring about anything.
Pretty much.
You'll be happy with anything.
And keep in mind that plan rapidly evaporates. That's not a lifelong plan. That's a like a 20, maybe 19 to 23 year old plan. Like that's the golden era of, hey, listen, I don't give a shit about fucking.
Yeah, then you just gotta straight up make money.
Yeah, and yeah,
it's gotta be like, oh, I gotta get rich.
Yeah, your 24th year, you have to actually start doing something, and you have to care about being able to support yourself. That's really all you have to care about. But that little golden era where people like myself at that time would probably folly into listening to all that fucking horse shit. You shouldn't give a shit. Oh, you're sweet on a gal. Are you smitten? Well, smitten. If you grow to hate her, if you actually express to her that you really hate her, you'll probably have a better chance than if you're the nicest dude ever and you do everything for her and you listen to every word and you hear about every little fucking friend in her social graph. You will do far better by hating her guts and hoping she dies. Basically, that's how it works. That's how it works. And you only figure this out if you hear it from somebody or you just grow to be a certain age. And you probably only realize it's true when you hit that certain age. I don't know what it is. It's a magical formula that creates the guys that don't give a shit right off the bat. And I have a newfound respect for them. Just because these cunts weren't covering their fucking snouts and just going off about, well, I don't know, I like my boots because they're tall, they're not too tall. Fuck your boots, there's shit in the goddamn car. There's a dude in a snow three snowsuits. He's wearing three snowsuits, and in two of them, they're shit. There is actual just fucking living, breathing shit.
Penetrated through two.
And as well, we're walking down, the train came right away, and there was maybe a 30-second gap between no train and train. Like, so, I mean, that's pretty good. And in that 30 seconds, there was, like, a family speaking Italian. They're probably visiting New York for the first time. The kid has a new toy. The husband is kissing the wife. He's saying, "Che bello, ma che bello." And he's picking the daughter up and throwing her. They're having a good moment. And then they step on this train. And the dude has a permanent scowl. The entire family has a fucking scowl. Their entire night is just ruined. Their memory of America and the greatest city in America, absolute ruin by this fucking dude. This dude in a diarrhea snowsuit. And it's enough to ruin the opinion of a country they chose to visit. And these cunts couldn't stop talking about nothing. Fuck you. Vapid fucking cunts.
They love that. They love it.
You know, and you know why, Steve? Why do you think they love it? Why do they love it so much?
Because they feel empowered. It makes them feel better than everybody else. Fuck them.
They have something to say. And when they have something to say, they have to say it. It's not like, maybe this could become a decent thought. No, actually, it's something I need to say right now because this is me and me. And I know that you wanted me to ask about you, but it's me. My boots. Just absolute shit.
Mental diarrhea, vocal, or mental constipation, vocal diarrhea.
Let me tell you about a place where you could have both of those things at the same time and be among people from any part of the globe, Steve.
In the Bronx?
Not only the Bronx. I see you too.
See you too.
I see you. I see the number 2.com. That's ICU2.com. Okay. When I say two, I mean the number 2. ICU2.com. It's a sensational internet communication service. When I mean
it's
that,
rave.
It's a chat room. Okay. With actual people using it. What chat rooms do you have available now to you? I mean, you hear, like, the idea of a chat room. What do you have? Like, one-on-one chat in Facebook with some fucking asshole that shot...
used to go to high school with?
That shot squirrels with crossbows and killed him right there in that skir.
Skir.
Dad right there in that skir.
That guy right there.
Imagine if back then, when I had that conversation, it could have been over the internet, and he could have turned his webcam to the wiggling squirrel that was dying on that skir. That would have been an interaction. That would have been an interaction I could not have dreamt about at that time. But it's a reality now at ICU2. ICU2.com. It's free to try. Let them know where you heard about it. It really helps us. It makes us feel good. They're true supporters of Heroes Talk, the DJ New Style show, and basically anything good. ICU2.com. I mean, it's the holiday season. Have some goddamn,
interactions.
Interactions, not even that. Just spread some cheer, okay? Put a goddamn smile on somebody's face. Go on, ICU2, and just say Merry Christmas to somebody if you celebrate Christmas. If you celebrate Hanukkah, say Happy Hanukkah or whatever you say. I don't know. What do you say? What does somebody say when they want to wish a decent Hanukkah to somebody? It's Happy Hanukkah, right?
Mazel Tov, Balet, Bechora, Maga. I don't know. I don't either.
Do you ever wish people seasonal?
Yes, I do. Greetings? I do. What's your wish? No, I'll do like Indian holidays because you know why? All the people that supply me with my cigarettes and coffee are Indian. So, like, I respect, like, Diwali. I think Diwali is cool as hell. All they do is just burn candles.
What the hell is Diwali?
That's their holiday. That's an Indian holiday, burning candles. Okay.
That's it?
Yeah, Diwali. It's like Thanksgiving for Indians. Same time. It's usually early November to mid-November. And Indians burn, like, oil lamps with wicks in them.
Wow. awesome.
And it's just like, okay, that's all they do. But well, like they light up.
Do they not do that any other part of the year? I mean, it's like, no. Dude, it's not Diwali yet.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Diwali is like November 3rd to like November 10th or something like that.
Do you celebrate Christmas, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, do you send out Christmas cards?
No, absolutely not. Fuck Christmas cards.
Wait, why not?
If I talk to you in any sense of talking to you, why do I need to send you a Christmas
exactly.
card?
Exactly. Like, I appreciate those that do. I just want to let you know. I enjoy receiving them, but to be honest, I hate fucking sending out Christmas cards. I don't do it. I don't want to do it. But if I did, here's my feeling on the type of greetings that people wish to one another during this time of year. And it comes under debate, and it's a very common argument that, you know, it's not holidays, it's Christmas. You should say Merry Christmas. It's a very common argument.
But, season's greetings.
Yeah. Season's greetings. Happy holidays. Those things.
I use season's greetings like 20, like every day of the year.
Do you say it though, or do you write it? That's the thing that you don't say. You should write.
I don't season. Do like,
Hey, Charles. Season's greetings. You would never say that to somebody. Hey, happy holidays.
You know, I wouldn't.
Or yo, have a good holiday. Right.
Well, I can understand that. I mean,
I don't say that shit. You know, and you know what? I think you should say whatever the holiday you celebrate. If you're a Jewish dude and you celebrate Hanukkah and you I don't know, we happen to get into a situation where you're going to wish me well and it's got to be seasonally related.
Happy Hanukkah. You know what? Happy holidays.
You tell me happy Hanukkah and I'll tell you Merry Christmas. And the reason is me saying happy holidays to you is sort of an assumption that I have any idea what the fuck your holiday is about. No, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know. I know what Christmas is. So when I say Merry Christmas to you, the thing we share about Christmas is the date it falls on.
Exactly.
I'm hoping you're going to be alive on the 25th of December, and I hope it's happy for you. And when you say happy Hanukkah or happy whatever, Kwanzaa, if you really...
Festus.
I mean, really.
Kwanzaa.
You're not wishing me... you know, warm memories in front of my menorah because I don't have one, but you're hoping that the fucking days that holiday falls on are good for me. That's all it is. And now we don't have to have that argument of like, well, you know, Christmas should be, you know, inclusive of everything. No, it's not. It's not always... Hanukkah and Christmas don't always fall on the same day. I don't know. Do they ever? Like, I really have no idea.
It's always the same time. It's always the same...
To be honest... I really don't know shit about Hanukkah. That's why I don't want to wish people happy holidays. Because I don't know about the fucking holidays. What if it's supposed to be a solemn event? Like, what I know about it is...
Hanukkah's happy. It's all right.
I only know the shit that I learned in grade school when they forced the Jewish kids to try and teach everybody else.
They made them brought in potato pancakes and Jewish gold coins.
Yeah. Hey, one Jew out of 40. I demand you fry vegetables for the rest of us just so we can understand you.
What does being kosher mean?
Yeah, like, it was weird. Like, we had a couple of Jewish kids in my grade school class, like, when they did this. And they basically, they made potato pancakes. I'm sure it wasn't their idea. I mean, this was probably urged by the teacher. They came in with a menorah, a dreidel.
I love potato pancakes.
The fucking, yeah. But, I mean, let's be honest here. Let's be honest. They're hash browns, okay? They're fucking hash browns. It's not like...
Extra onions. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's a goddamn... I mean, Shoney's has them. Fucking Perkins
they're
sells
good,
them.
Man.
Of course they're good. They're potatoes and onions. Don't act like it's...
Can't go wrong. And it's fried.
Yeah, I mean, but if I give you a gingerbread cookie, you know, it's not like an everyday thing. There's a specific season. I could go to a diner right now or in July and get a fucking... The equivalent of... What is it? What do they call it? Is it like a latke or something? Isn't there like a name for it? I'm so ignorant of it, and I apologize, Jews.
Ish. No, Alaka. Alaka.
Laka?
Yeah, like K-E or some shit.
Oh, that's where the kids in East Orange put their books.
They put on the lock.
Yo, who put oil on my locker? Oh, yeah, I did. Because it's in a very merry time for us, too. Is a motherfucker! Someone done put olive oil over my locker! Bitch asshole got on my earth science book! Like, they'd be so angry that they can't learn about sedimentary rock. Man, I'm trying to learn about igneous rock in this bitch! Got that shortening all over my motherfucking chapter! You best clean that shit off my locker, son! Rail toe! Give me that geld! You remember the bags of coins?
Dude, I went to the supermarket the other day, and they had fucking silver-wrapped coins. I'm like, yo, silver? Are you really wrapping gold coins in silver?
Gold is very expensive.
Even the gold flake to cover a fucking chocolate coin?
It's not gold flake. It's fucking foil that's colored.
Yeah, well, all right, whatever. It was silver. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's more realistic, you know? The they don't sell.
Obsession has hit everyone, even the candy.
You can only get the gold coins at Jewish stores. They don't give them to the Americans who just want to play with money. Very, very serious.
You can't get gold chocolate coins anymore, only silver?
Yeah, so we'd have these parties, like the one holiday party at school. This is the only time I ever learned about Hanukkah. And they'd force the Jewish kid to bring in the lulaka, son! And the menorah. Motherfucker! Get that candle away from my motherfucking locker! To burn my literature book! Motherfucker, F. Scott Fitzgerald in this bitch! And then they would tell us the story of Hanukkah, which I don't really fucking remember, so that didn't leave that much of a lasting impression. And then, after we oohed and aahed about their struggle and their celebration, we would eat the McDonald's hamburger and fries that we were allowed to have on one day. One day of the year at the holiday party.
So you love Jewish holidays?
Well, no, it was the Christmas party, but they called it a Christmas party. It was like, hey, this is the Christmas party, and hey, Jews, put on a little fucking exhibit for us. And
bring
I think,
your dreidels.
I mean, you weren't going to sell us on it, first of all. And I think they kind of fucked up their legacy a little bit because, you know, as a kid, you hear Hanukkah, wow. They celebrate Hanukkah instead of Christmas. Well, I mean, I know what Christmas is. What's Hanukkah? Wait, it's 8 days. So,
that sounds
holy
way
shit.
Better.
Dude, there's 8 Christmases they have.
Right in a row.
So, you like as a kid, you think this is some kind of, like, just
no, but
God
then you learn they get one present a day.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yo, fuck that holiday.
Yeah.
You guys suck.
Yeah, I got, you know, the thimble-style eraser. One of my pencils because the eraser ran out. I can slide that bitch over the top of it now. It's good. I got socks.
Hanukkah should have been after Christmas, not leading up to Christmas. Because then the Jews could get all the shit cheap because, you know, they would get it cheap.
True.
After Christmas.
Yeah, like, I mean, you get the after Christmas sales, the unboxing day or whatever the fuck that shit is.
We go to like July 5th.
Yeah.
So, 3rd, something like that, or January 3rd.
Yeah, I was talking to Shawnee Murphy about this, and I mentioned the mystique of the 8 days of gifts, and he said, yeah, but you know what the real situation that everybody envied was the guy that had a Jewish mom or dad and a Christian, like the one who celebrated
Christmas
both.
And Hanukkah, son.
They had both. Like, the parents couldn't just decide, so they raised the kid in both religions, and they would have to celebrate both holidays, so they'd get Christmas and Hanukkah.
Imagine if their birthday was in the December 20th. Oh my God, that kid would be like Eric Cartman.
So do you really think that that's – I think that's diminishing returns. If you have Christmas and a birthday very similar, like people just like, well, you know, okay, it's a month. if you were born in July, would have gotten you the same amount of gifts. But we're just calling half
bullshit.
Of them. We're calling half of them birthday.
Like, my birthday's in September, so I'm pretty well removed from Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like two more in between.
Yeah.
You got Halloween and Thanksgiving. But I have a cousin who is December 15th. And I feel really bad for her because I think, you know, I think, honestly.
Your birthday's in
September?
I think
I've had an objective view. I think I've had an objective view, and I think she's gotten a short end of the stick. Okay. You know, like.
Yeah.
I think December 3rd or 4th. Till any time, maybe 2-3 days after Christmas, you get fucked.
What's your birthday?
I'm September 27th.
Shit. So, that's almost 9 months to the day after Christmas.
Yeah, I know that.
Interesting. Someone dipped into the old eggnog, got a little frisky.
That's fine by me. Christmas, I don't care if I'm a Christmas baby. I'm keeping.
They did it over a pile of just fucking crumpled paper.
Keep Stephen LARPer.
They knocked over the tree, got that fucking tree water everywhere.
I do the same shit, so I can't. I can't complain.
Yeah, I don't know. They shouldn't. They shouldn't have explained Hanukkah to people that didn't know about. I don't know. The mystique was there. All we need to know, hey, look, we celebrate 8 days, and there's 8 days of presents. Okay, so enjoy your Christmas with your one day. That's all they had to say. But then they come in with fucking potato pancakes and some kind of candle shit. I don't know. And it's like, yeah, okay, this seems like too much, like, real religion. You guys have too much real history and religion in this gift holiday. Like, we kind of like our tree and our decorations and our cartoons and our songs and our magic man that climbs in the chimney, eats our shit that we leave out for him and gives us things. Wait, what? You were stuck with only 7 days of oil and there were lights and
people, oil
and people what? People were dying and starving and then you light things and you get shitty gifts. Oh, okay. Yeah, Christmas is much better. That's the conclusion you're left with.
Really? People, like, got burning stuff on Hanukkah?
I'm only going with what I learned in grade school. And when I had Mrs. Jervis as a third grade teacher, she was a Jewish woman. And she told us some, like, horror story of, like, fucking people had, like, were
horror
trapped.
Christmas.
People were being oppressed, and they were trapped in some cave or some shit. Like, this is by the way, if you're Jewish, listen to this knowing the real story. I am not a Jew, and I know nothing about you guys except what everybody says. Sorry.
I agree.
There was a cave. The same thing. There was a cave. There were people that were chased in it, they had a lamp, and they had some oil, but they didn't have enough oil, and they didn't have lights, so they started using the oil to get light, and they're like, shit, we're gonna run out, but they didn't run out, and then everybody celebrated forever. That's the gist of what I was told. Except she basically described that they were being hunted and killed for sport, and the Jews are the chosen people. Third grade, everybody.
Isn't that like Aliens versus Predator 1?
It could very well be. Maybe she.
I'm pretty sure that is.
Maybe she wrote that shit. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Steve, am I? I'm getting the Christmas cards now, and some of them say Happy Holidays. Like, I got one from Sobers, and he said Happy Holidays on it. And I get why people do it. I just think that you should wish whatever you celebrate. And that's, you know, not selfish. It's just what you know.
I agree, too, but sometimes people want to try to relate.
True. I get it. I understand it. I just think it could be different and all that. But I got the card, and I liked receiving it. And it made me think, I should probably send something. Should I? Am I an asshole for not sending out Christmas cards?
No, because if you were, I would be. Because I've never sent anybody a Christmas card.
No, you are definitely. But I mean, am I?
I know I am, but yeah. I would never, ever send anyone a Christmas card.
Well, I don't know. I guess I won't either. I'll just continue to feel somewhat bad about it, but then forget about it after not really doing anything about it.
No, I'm sure Amanda cares about Christmas cards.
She has them. She bought Christmas cards.
She cares about having them sent out.
No. Even if it's no, she doesn't. Here's really? Why. We have the fucking cards. Dude, we have cards with Teddy's fucking face on them and reindeer shits, and we have them. If she cared, if she really cared about getting it done, or if I really cared about getting it done, if anybody in this house cared about sending the cards, the fucking cards would be out. It's just that, you know, we're lazy. That's what it comes down to. We're really fucking lazy.
I can relate, but yeah.
Anyway, Steve, I want to just say thank you very much to everybody who tuned into this. And Steve, thank you very much for being a part of it and stepping up.
Is it over again?
It's going to be over. Yeah, it's over.
Wow. I hear all Ramstein.
Yes. Once again, DJNewStyleShow.com. That's the official website of the DJ New Style Show. Download everything we've ever done. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave comments. Obviously, you'll do all that stuff. If you're a true fan. If you're a friend. If you have the Christmas spirit.
I'm back.
Yes. Steve, thank you again. And don't forget to check out Geeks of Rage. That's geeksofrageshow.com. It's our buddy Veelchop, Brian, and Mike from Queens. They get together. They talk about things that really irritate them, games that they're puzzling over, and they theorize. They talk.
It's fun.
They actually make me just completely envious of their skills. Listening to that show, to be perfectly honest, I'm like, God damn, these guys can host. These guys can do a show. And it's just a great listen. Similarly,
what about us?
we're terrible. And I'm glad I don't listen to myself.
Yeah, I'm glad I've never listened to the show either.
I feel like I owe a Christmas card to everybody who listens to this piece of shit.
Me too.
I owe them money and time. I owe them a blueprint for a time machine so they can get back the several hours they've spent listening to
this. You know what I owe them?
What's that?
The instructions to go Google Hippo Super Fart.
Hippo Super Fart?
Yes, go Google that, and okay, that is your Christmas present to everyone that listens to the show.
Hippo Super Fart.
That's it.
Okay.
You're going to have to Google that after the show.
I absolutely know you are. Anyway, thank you very much. And don't forget, Hate Us Talk. We're talking about good shows here. We're talking about shows that that interest me, that I listen to, that are very enjoyable. We're talking about, of course, Hate Us Talk. HateUsTalk.com. That's our buddy Clayton from Texas and his cast of characters who drink and discuss topics and argue and get very excited and essentially let you in their
Clayton's
inner circle and invite you to their party, even if it's just you listening to it. So Geeks of Rage, Hate Us Talk, and don't forget, Hear Us Talk. Thank you very much. Steve, thanks everybody for listening. Plug Central is over. Steve, is there anything you want to sign off with?
I'd like to say hello to Clayton again. And I'd like to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Merry Festivus, and have fun with every shit you're doing.
I only know Christmas. Merry Christmas, Jews.
You fucking motherfucker.
Hey, no, stop that. Okay, anyway, thank you very much, guys. Suck my dick.